Good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
Great to be here with you this morning. My name is Adam Pogue, and I am the evangelist here that's been chosen to work with the Christians here at Broadview. If you're visiting with us this morning, let me personally say thank you so much for being here with us. It's an encouragement for us to see visitors and to see more people in the community that want to worship God, put Him first, and assemble together on the first day of the week. This morning, I want to bring us a lesson entitled Christianity at Work. We began speaking about work this morning with our scripture reading in 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, verses 10 through 12. We began to see that there is scripture in the Bible that tells us that it is important to work. God tells us that it's not a good thing to be lazy. It's not good to just be a busybody, but it is very important to be a worker here on this earth. We'll look at another scripture in 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse 8 that tells us, "But if anyone does not provide for his own, and especially for those of his household, he has denied the faith and is worse than an unbeliever." Those are pretty bold words. That really points the finger at us from the scripture and tells us not to be lazy. That we are worse than someone who doesn't even believe in God if we're not providing for our family, speaking especially to the husbands of the household. Another scripture that we can look at, 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 15. "Be diligent to present yourself approved to God, a worker who does not need to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth." Now, of course, this scripture is Paul talking to the young evangelist Timothy, telling him to make sure to continue to work in preaching the gospel. But that also applies to us too, and to remind us to be diligent, to be a worker, to be a worker. Let me give you a hypothetical story here real quick about Christianity at work. When we walk in the front doors of our office on Monday morning, does it look like this? Do we walk in, open the door, make sure to say hello, shake some hands to the people that are most important, or maybe the people that we most importantly want to make sure that they know that we're here, that we're on time, we've showed up for work, we've made sure to pass all those people, and now we're going to go sit down in our office or our cubes or whatever we have, and maybe now that we've done all that, it's time for some coffee. Okay, after slacking off for a little bit with some coffee, now maybe it's time for a little mid-morning nap. I'll keep my face toward the computer or my books, but nobody will know that my eyes are closed. Maybe we continue on through the morning. Well, okay, we check some email, and now, well, it's time for lunch. Come back from lunch, maybe check some more email, maybe check the internet, see the news of the day. Only be followed by maybe another afternoon nap. Kick up our feet, and oh, look, it's 5 o'clock, it's time to go home. Woo, that was a tough day. How long would that work? How long would we keep our jobs here on this earth if that's the way that we walked in and treated every day? Now, I know every once in a while we might get by with one of those. But what if we did that each and every day? How long would that work? It wouldn't work very long at all. We would be fired, no longer have a job. So I want to remind us this morning, as we look at the Word of God together, that there's also a work to do for Christ. And that if we work hard at our jobs on this earth, then we need to make sure to work just as hard in the kingdom of God. Sometimes we'll work really hard at our jobs, stay late, not get to see the family as much, put in more hours than even we're required to put in. But then when it comes to working for Christ, working at our Christianity, then we slack off, and that's where we lose some of our ground for God. This morning I want to look at what Christianity at work looks like in our lives. If we're doing what things, can other people tell that we're Christians? That's what I want to look at with you this morning. The first point in our lesson this morning is that Christianity at work, what it looks like in your life, it demonstrates love. If you would, please turn me in your Bibles to Matthew chapter 19. Matthew chapter 19. We'll be reading verses 16 through 19. This is the account of Jesus talking to the rich young ruler, and the rich young ruler wants to know about what he needs to do to enter into heaven. Here's what Jesus tells him in Matthew 19, 16 through 19. "Now behold, one came and said to him, 'Good teacher, what good thing shall I do that I may have eternal life?' So he said to him, 'Why do you call me good? No one is good but one, that is God. But if you want to enter into life, keep the commandments.' He said to him, 'Which ones?' Jesus said, 'You shall not murder. You shall not commit adultery. You shall not steal. You shall not bear false witness. Honor your father and your mother, and you shall love your neighbor as yourself.'" We read this account of Jesus telling the rich young ruler all the important things that he needs to do to enter into eternal life, into heaven. What does he tell us? He tells us that Christianity at work demonstrates love towards who? Towards our neighbors. I want us to notice something about that last verse that we read. Jesus, while speaking to the rich young ruler, tells him that love for your neighbor as yourself is just as important as not murdering, not committing adultery, not stealing, not lying, and just as important as to honor your father and your mother. We often don't look at it that way, do we? We think, well, I don't have to love my neighbor because I'm not stealing, I'm not murdering anyone. Now, Jesus tells us right here that those things are just as important. Sometimes we overlook that and think, well, maybe love for one another is not quite as important. Yes, it is. Jesus plainly tells us in this verse that one is not more important than the other. That if you want to be pleasing, if you want to demonstrate the kind of love that God and Jesus want us to demonstrate, then first we need to love our neighbors. What does that look like, to love our neighbors as ourselves? Well, think about it like this. What would you do for yourself because you love yourself? You would make sure not to miss a meal, would you? You'd make sure to clothe yourself. But most importantly, you would make sure to watch out for your soul. So if we were to love our neighbor as our own self, then when we see a need, feel it as you have the ability. If there's a neighbor that you know that needs food, feel it if you have the opportunity. Someone that needs clothes, feel it. But more importantly than any of those, if you see a need in your neighbor's life, spiritually speaking, make sure to feel that. We would definitely feel it for ourselves and make sure that our soul is on the right path to be in heaven. How much more important is our neighbor? Many times not as important. But Jesus tells us that it is very important. Let's look at another scripture about demonstrating love. If you would, in Matthew chapter 5. If you're already in Matthew 19, just flip a few back to Matthew chapter 5. And we'll read Jesus speaking to us in verses 43 through 48. 43 through 48 in Matthew chapter 5, Jesus tells us, "You have heard that it was said, 'You shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy.' But I say to you, love your enemies. Bless those who curse you. Do good to those who hate you. And pray for those who spitefully use you and persecute you." Down to verse 46. "For if you love those who love you, what reward have you? Do not even the tax collectors do the same? And if you greet your brethren only, what do you do more than others? Do not even the tax collectors do so? Therefore, you shall be perfect, just as your Father in heaven is perfect." What is Jesus trying to tell us in this verse about love? Well, he's telling us that to demonstrate love, that we should demonstrate love even towards our enemies. I love the way that Jesus explains his Father's principles so plainly to us. Verse 46 and 47, he plainly points out that it's not going to be easy to love someone that hates you. He says, pray for those who spitefully use you and persecute you. It's not going to be easy, but the point is that he expects something more out of his disciples. He points this all out by telling us that we need to love those who mock us and slander us. Furthermore, he goes on to talk about the tax collectors. He says even the tax collectors can love their own friends and hate their enemies. That's easy to do. You must be more. You are called to a higher calling. As a Christian, to be a Christian at work, we need to love our enemies. Even when those around us try to make us angry, despise us, talk down to us, don't let that anger get to you and make you act in a way that you should not be acting as a Christian. It is our job as a Christian to be different. Again, going back to the tax collectors, they can hate their enemies. We're to be different. When people get mad at us, try to make us angry, we need to remember such things as Luke 6, when Jesus tells us that if an enemy strikes us on one cheek, turn and give him the other cheek. Jesus goes on to tell us that his disciples are to be the kind of people that when someone steals from you, you're not to plan your wrath upon them, plan your revenge. You're to simply let them steal whatever else they want to steal. And then just continue on. Don't plan revenge. Don't hate those that hate you. Don't hate those that do such things against you. If we'll have this kind of response when people do things to us, if we will hate our enemies, brothers and sisters in Christ, that is the type of response that will turn heads in the community around us. That's the type of response that will make people wonder why we act different. Make them wonder about the hope and the love of Jesus Christ that's in us, and they'll want to know more. So important for us to remember these things, to act different. Love your enemies. Show the world around you that you're different. They'll want to know why. They'll want to know more about Jesus Christ and why He makes you different. Paul tells us in 1 Corinthians about what a Christian is without love. Paul tells us, though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels, but have not love, I have become sounding brass or a clanging cymbal. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I can remove mountains, but have not love, I am nothing. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned, have not love, it profits me nothing. That goes for each and every one of us. Paul had spiritual gifts. He had the ability to bestow all of his goods to feed the poor. He was ready to give up his body to be burned for the cause of Jesus Christ. But he said, no matter if I have all of these things, if I do not have love, then I have nothing. What does Christianity at work look like in your life? Hopefully this morning we can look to Scripture and see that Christianity at work in your life demonstrates love. Demonstrates love towards your brothers and sisters in Christ, your neighbors, and yes, even our enemies. Secondly, this morning, Christianity at work bears burdens. If you would please turn with me in your Bibles to Galatians chapter 6. Galatians chapter 6, reading about bearing one another's burdens. Scripture tells us all about that here and in other places. Galatians chapter 6, verses 2 through 5, we are told to bear one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. For if anyone thinks himself to be something when he is nothing, he deceives himself. But let each one examine his own work, and then he will have rejoicing in himself alone, and not in another. For each one shall bear his own load. Before we move on to talk about bearing one another's burdens in verse 2, I want to look at verse 5 where it says, for each one shall bear his own load. I don't want anybody to be confused or think that the Bible here is contradicting itself in verses 2 and 5. That's not the case. In verse 5, when it talks about bearing a load, that's speaking to come judgment day. We're not going to be allowed to look at God and say, My wife was a good Christian. I went to church with her sometimes. Can't I enter into heaven as well? No, verse 5 tells us that each one is to bear our own load in when speaking of our spiritual life and our relationship with God. That's what verse 5 is talking about. But verse 2 is talking about something a little bit different. Verse 2 is talking about that we need to bear one another's burdens. A Christian at work will bear the burdens of one another. Let me try to break it down for us like this. And what should that mean for us today? How should we bear one another's burdens? Well, what does a normal conversation look like when we walk in the front door on Sunday mornings? How do we speak to one another? When we walk in, do we smile real big and shake each other's hands when we're asked, "How are you doing today?" "I'm doing great. Never better." While all the while, inside, we're using our smiling faces to mask our burdened hearts. Do we tell everyone that there's nothing wrong? Do we tell everyone that we have no struggles in this life? This week has been a great week for my Christianity, my relationship with God. While all the while, Monday through Saturday, we're losing battles against Satan left and right. You know why we don't tell each other what we're honestly feeling, what we're honestly thinking? It's because of our fear. We have a fear when we walk through the doors of this building that if we actually are honest with one another and if we actually tell someone a struggle that we have, a sin that we're fighting against so hard that we want to defeat Satan, but we're afraid if we tell one of our brothers and sisters in Christ that they'll look down on us. And that they'll look at us and say, "What kind of Christian is he? He has those kind of struggles all week long. He's not a very strong Christian." But that's not how it should be. It's not how it should be between one another. We shouldn't put on masks and tell each other that we have no struggles. Be honest with one another. We are to bear one another's burdens, to fulfill the law of Christ. You know, in the story of creation, God tells us it is not good that man should be alone. So what did He do? He made him a helper, so that man will not have to be alone. Likewise, God knows that it's not good for Christians to be alone, having to look Satan in the eye each and every day without ever having the comfort and the encouragement of Christians. So you know what He did? He sent His Son. His Son came to this earth, conquered death, conquered Satan, and started this body that we're members of. Started the church. That's all so that we don't have to be alone. God doesn't want Christians to be alone. He wants us to be assembled. We're to come together to exhort one another, to encourage one another. We're to bear each other's burdens. Now, I know that this doesn't mean that when we walk through the doors that we need to start confessing every single little thing that we've done all week long. I'm not saying that. But what I am saying is it's just human nature that there's going to be some in this room that we're going to be closer to than others. That's just the way it is. Seek out those that you've formed a special bond with, that you feel really close to. And if you need some words of encouragement, ask for those words. Tell that person that you're really close to, "Look, I'm struggling with some sin this week. I just can't seem to get past this. Can you please pray for me? Will you give me some words of advice? Can we study the Bible together so that I can stop this sin in my life?" It's very important for us to ask for prayers from one another, seek encouragement, and for us to look to Christians that are older in the faith and to seek their encouragement, their knowledge, so that they can help us with whatever we tend to be struggling with all week until the next Lord's Day. Christianity at work. If you're working for Christ, you need to be bearing the burdens of one another. Thirdly, Christianity at work shows diligence. If you would, again, turn with me in your Bibles to Romans chapter 12. Romans chapter 12. If you would, please read with me Romans chapter 12, verses 9 through 11. 9 through 11. Let love be without hypocrisy. Abhor what is evil. Cling to what is good. Be kindly affectionate to one another with brotherly love. In honor, giving preference to one another. Not lagging in diligence. Fervent in spirit, serving the Lord. A Christian is to hate what is evil. A Christian is to love one another. And a Christian is to not lag in diligence. To see a Christian at work should be to see someone who is fervently serving the Lord. We see this word fervent. What does that mean anyway? Well, the Greek word for fervent in this verse is the word Greek word zeo. Zeo, or what we know as fervent in this verse, is a verb that literally means to be hot, to boil. So what does a Christian at work look like? One who is showing diligence. One that is showing such diligence that we, metaphorically speaking, are hot, are boiling over of our excitement, our love, our diligence for Jesus Christ in our daily walk. Diligence suggests, just to say the word diligence and to know what fervent means, then there must be another word in our dictionary that is the opposite. That's the way it works. Just saying the word diligence means that there must be some that are not being diligent. It suggests that there might be a time in our lives when we might not be doing the things that we once did when we first started serving the Lord. But it might not be showing the same diligence that we once did. But going back to that thought that we had at the beginning of this lesson, what would happen if you went too long at work without showing diligence? Producing for your company, producing for your boss. How long would that last? Not long before you got fired and you were asked to go home because you're not being very profitable for this company. The same goes for our service to the Lord. Again, don't let our service to our jobs upon this earth show a diligence, but then never show a diligence and a fervent for our spirituality, for our walk with God. Furthermore, I want to let us know this morning that there's going to be times when you're not going to feel as diligent. I understand that. We have to be real with one another. We can't think that we're always going to be on fire every single day. But that doesn't mean that we should just stop and not try to get back on course. When we begin to feel our diligence fade and we start to feel like we're not serving the Lord like we should, I want us to go to a verse. There's a lot of verses we should go to, but I just want to look at one this morning. In Hebrews chapter 12, verses 1 through 3. Therefore, we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us. Let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him who endured such hostility from sinners against himself, lest you become weary and discouraged in your souls. This verse reminds us this morning and should encourage us that even in times when we feel weary, even when we know in our hearts that we're not serving the Lord the way we should, that we also have a Savior that has felt every human thing that we've ever felt. When we feel like some things are going wrong in families, some things aren't going our way, Jesus has felt those things in the flesh. He has felt those things so much more than we can ever dream of. So when we feel that we're not working for Christ, we're not being diligent for the Lord, remember one who was diligent all the way to the cross. Jesus could have easily said, I know I've come here for the Father. I know it's the will of my Father that I die on this cross. that just does not seem like something I want to do today. I know what they're going to do to me. They're going to beat me. They're going to stick nails through my skin. They're going to put a crown of thorns and smash that into my skull. I don't want to go through that pain. Jesus didn't do that. Jesus was diligent. Jesus loved us so much that He knew all the things that were about to happen to Him, and He was diligent all the way to sacrifice Himself so that we could have forgiveness of our sins. When you feel your diligence start to fade, remind yourself of the things that Jesus did for you, and then know that you have someone you can look to for your encouragement each and every day. I have a fourth point for us this morning. What does Christianity at work in your life, in my life, look like? It should also look like a light. Again, let's go back to Matthew chapter 5. Matthew chapter 5, if you would please turn with me there to read the words of Jesus. Matthew chapter 5, verses 14 through 16, Jesus lets us know exactly what He and the Father expect from us. Exactly what we are supposed to be as Christians. Here's what Jesus tells us. You are a light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hidden. Nor do they light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a lampstand, and it gives light to all who are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. All throughout the New Testament, we see words like light and darkness. And what those always mean from God is darkness equals Satan, equals sin, and equals a spiritual death for all of eternity. So what does light mean? Light means God, Jesus. It means all things that are good following the will of the Father, and it means an eternal life in heaven. That's what light is. So if we read these words of Jesus, we need to understand that there is an action involved in here. Jesus isn't telling us that we might suggest being a good example. We might think about being a light to a few people around us. He's suggesting an action, or He's commanding an action, not suggesting. He's telling us that we need to be the light in the sin around us. Be the light in the darkness around us to all the other people that look upon us each and every day. Jesus commands us to be Christians who are active at the work for Him. This means in all that we do, we need to be a good example to those around us. In all that we do. So let's consider just for a few moments, what are some ways that we can be lights to those around us? That we can be an extension of God, be an extension of Jesus, be an extension of the glory of the Father. First way is in our speech. In our speech. This one is so hard sometimes, admittingly, for each and every one of us. When we're at work, when we're out with friends who aren't Christians, does their speech sound like something that's an extension of the glory of God? Most likely not. What about us? What about us when we're with all of those people during the week? Again, it's hard, I know. But do we egg on a joke that we know that we shouldn't even be listening to? We're all guilty. When we hear someone make fun of someone else, do we laugh at that person they're making fun of? I know we're all guilty. Do we maybe say some things that our friends are saying because, well, that's what would be cool to say right now, even though we know as a Christian we shouldn't be saying it? Again, we're all guilty. But we are to talk different than the darkness. We are to be lights of the world. Again, extensions of the glory of the Father. What's another way that we need to be lights to the world? How about in our actions? In our actions. We talked about speech being different, but actions are even more importantly. They're more important, I think. We hear all the time that actions speak louder than words. So maybe you've heard these things from the Bible this morning, and maybe you thought to yourself, I'm a light to the world in my speech. check. But then if your actions never show it, then what does that tell all the people around you? It tells them that you can say you're a Christian. You can say that you want to do good, but all of your actions show differently, don't they? We need to be lights in the world in our speech and in our actions. We're not to do the things that the world around us does. It doesn't matter if it's what's cool, what our friends are doing at school or in the job place. We are called to be different. Different in our actions, such as our love for one another, our love for our neighbors, our love even for our enemies. What about our actions in the way that we bear one another's burdens? Does everybody in the world care about one another? No, they care about themselves. We're to be different. We're to bear each other's burdens. That's a way to be a light. How about the way we show diligence for the Lord? That's an action that we can show. When others around are doing what they want to do, we can show a diligence in our life towards the Lord. Again, Jesus commands us in here to be an extension of the glory of your Father in heaven. If we'll look at that verse and really think about that, and really apply it to ourselves, maybe that'll help us the next time we decide to do something like the world. Before we do something in our actions or our speech that we know we shouldn't do, think about every time you make a decision that you're an extension of the glory of the Father to everyone around you. How do you want to reflect to those around you? Do you want to reflect a way that means you're a Christian and that you're different, or that you're just like everybody else in the world doing what they want to do with their lives? I want to close by looking at Philippians chapter 2, verses 14 and 15. Philippians chapter 2. Do all things without complaining and disputing, that you may become blameless and harmless, children of God without fault in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation, among whom you shine as lights in the world. We need to look at this verse and remember that we do, in fact, not live in a perfect world. We don't live in a world where the majority are those that believe in Christ. We do, in fact, live in a crooked and perverse generation. But it's our duty for the Lord, our duty as workers for Christ, to shine as lights in the world, as Philippians chapter 2 tells us right here. This morning, are you a Christian at work? Are you currently working for the Lord? Remember the work ethic that we display at our jobs. How fervently and with diligence we'll work to please our bosses. Please remember that is to not to exceed the amount of work that we should put in for Christ. If we're willing to work long hours and do extra for our bosses, then put in long hours. Work extra for Christ. Your reward in heaven will ultimately be something that will be worth it all. So let's examine ourselves. And then get inspired. Get encouraged by the things that we've read this morning. And apply them to yourselves. If we'll do these things, we will look like a Christian at work and be one who is pleasing to the Father and to the Son. This morning, if you're not a Christian at work, know that you can begin working for Him today. If you're someone who loves the Lord, but you've not yet been baptized, won't you do that today? Do you believe Jesus is the Son of God? Won't you tell us, confess openly that you believe Jesus is the Son of God? If you'll do that, won't you take it a step further and repent from your sins? Repenting meaning turning completely away from any sin that's in your life. If you'll confess Jesus is the Son of God, repent away from your sins. Won't you be baptized in water this morning? Don't put it off another day. God's inviting you this morning, and He invites you every minute of your life to begin working for Him. If we can help you with any spiritual need this morning, I ask you to please come as we stand and as we sing. Won't you come?